Greetings in the name of Jesus. This morning, I want to think about rewards. I think anyone listening probably enjoys to receive a reward. And I'm not exactly sure what the difference is between, well, I think most of what we do because we'll get some payment for that. I mean, that's why we drag ourselves out of bed 2 o'clock in the morning, not just for the fun of it, but because of a wage. Usually, I think it's a little different for something that we earn like that. And I think a reward is, normally we think of something that is kind of a bonus or something not necessarily that we are expecting, or it's not an automatic. I guess we would say wages are our reward. Think of some things that are rewards to people, and rewards might mean different things to different people as well. But some of the temporal rewards that we get sometimes would be wages, would be awards, maybe trophies at times, it could be diplomas, gift certificates, badges or patches, could be praise, words of appreciation. Some of those things are rewards that we sometimes might get for something well done or something that we've, maybe a recognition of extra work or extra effort. Today we want to look at some of the rewards of God and see how different they are. How great is God's love? He gives us rewards continuously. We know that he gave his son to die for us and then rewards us for every little thing that we do for him. He provided through Jesus' death and resurrection, provided everything that we need. I mean, we wouldn't even be able to survive spiritually if it wasn't for what he has done. He made everything possible for us. There was nothing that we could do. And then as we receive that then and serve him, then he rewards us for using whatever he gave to us. We'll look at a number of different parts here, thinking of rewards. And first of all, we look at, number one, the rewarder. We know that rewards are usually given according to the ability or the dignity of the rewarder. You know, someone has to have the ability to give you a reward before you. I guess some rewards are, anyone can give a reward of appreciation, words of affirmation, appreciation. But normally, to get a reward from someone, that person has to be in a position to give that reward. And God is supremely qualified and able. Number one, we'll look at a number of aspects here. His greatness. Colossians 3, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. The Lord himself is the rewarder. It says, of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Know that the world was made by him and for him. We know that he inhabits eternity. We know that he speaks and it is done. That's how great our rewarder is. It is all within his power. There is none greater than him. Then number two, look at his riches. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know that earthly blessings are part of his reward. Well, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we receive of those rewards so many times, you know, so many things of the earth that are a reward to us or a blessing to us. Things that we don't necessarily deserve, maybe, or that are just a reward, you know, just the beauty around us and the things that are more than what we need for our sustenance, for our daily lives. Those are rewards, extras that he has given, because the earth is his. We could just name so many things, you know, the beauty of the Rocky Mountains and the smelling of the flowers. Do those actually, are they actually essential for us to survive? A lot of those things aren't, but just a reward for us. Also, spiritual blessings, of course. He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. So it's because of his riches that we receive so many rewards. Number three is also his goodness. Matthew 6, verse 4. That then alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. It's thy Father himself, the Father who gave his Son. Since if he gave his Son to make a way for us to be saved, how will he not freely give us all things as well? He, through his goodness, knows what we need for our survival, and he also, in his goodness, then beyond that, gives us rewards for faithfully serving him. Right, number four is faithfulness. Philippians 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Christ took on death and is now exalted by God with a name above every name. He was faithful. He took that death upon himself. He gave himself up faithfully to provide salvation for us, so that we could also become sons and daughters of him. He took on death and is exalted by God with a name above every name. Hebrews 2, verse 9. I'll just go to that verse. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He is crowned with glory and honor because he faced the cross. God, having been faithful to his only Son, will be faithful to his every son, since he did not turn his back on Christ when Christ faced the cross. We know that he was faithful to him. He also is faithful, more than faithful to us, if we live for him and die for him. All right, we looked at the rewarder. Now let's look at the rewarded. You know, not every person's works will be rewarded. We could think of, well, since we sometimes may be tempted to think that we, our acts of service, our, like Brother Jerry said, our hands and our feet, our everyday service, we will do what we can so that we think we will get a reward. But if we are going through life that way, I don't think we will get much of a reward. We need to be serving for the sake of service, for the sake of our love for Christ, not because of some reward that we hope to gain from that. You know, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 12 to 15, I can read these verses. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, or shall be made clear or shown for what it is. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide with which he hath built, thereupon he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So he was speaking about fire trying our works. And I think our motives will reveal, or will be shown in what survives the fire. You know, if our service, if the things that we do in service, if it is more for reward that we hope to gain, I don't think very much of it will survive. But if we are just serving for the sake of service to others, I think that is where the difference will be between the gold, the precious stones, the stubble, the hay. And we need to take care and see how we build. Remember the testing fire. We need to be diligent. We need to be fervent. And who are these rewards given to? Number one, the earnest seeker. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It's not to those who only seek a reward, but who are diligently seeking him. It's that verse that says, "My soul thirsteth for the living God." If our soul is thirsting for him, diligently seeking, earnestly seeking him, then I think there will be a reward for that seeking. And number two, the careful worker. We already looked at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. And 13, we'll just read those verses again. "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Again, stressing the need to be careful workers, to be diligent, to be fervent. If we want to be rewarded, we will need to be diligent. Number three, these rewards are given to a cheerful giver. Matthew 10 verse 42 says, "And whosoever shall give to me drink on, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." We sometimes think to get a reward we need to do great things, and we need to do great things, but what are great things? It can even be as simple as a cup of cold water. And I appreciated the introduction of the devotions, you know, that ties in. Our service will be in everyday things, how we help and serve each other. Cheerfully, if we try to do our service grudgingly because of wanting a reward, I think the reward will be quite small. God loves a cheerful giver. Whatever you do, do it heartily. The least thing done in Christ's name will be rewarded. Number 4 will be given to the righteous sower, Proverbs 11, verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Sowing righteousness. How do we do that? I think it's a lifetime learning thing to continually sow righteousness. But we know that Jesus Christ was the righteous sower, and what a reward he received. Let's follow his example. We read that verse in Hebrews 2, verse 9, of the crown that he got for giving up his life. And as we continually give up our lives, we can also be righteous sowers, doing what we can to help others, and then reward will also be given. Number 5, to the honest and fair Christian. 2 Samuel 22, verse 21 says, The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. The Christian's business dealings and everyday transactions should be done in the sight of God, or in light of God watching and seeing. We need to be serving in fairness. Our dealings need to be honest and upright, with clean hands is what that implies. Because we do that, we also will get rewards, not only now in this life, we will. I think if we live honestly, our dealings are upright, we will be rewarded for that now, but also in eternity as well. The number 6 will be given to the humble servant, Proverbs 22, verse 4. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. The reward of humility is riches and honor. And that's kind of a paradox, but sometimes we think we need to be out front and be seen in order to be able to get rewards, but humility is what is required to receive riches and honor, to receive a reward. Christ humbled himself, wherefore God highly exalted him. And a humble servant that quietly goes about serving is the one that will probably get the greatest rewards. Number 7, it will be given to the steadfast believer. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Whatever is hindering your confidence in God is robbing you of a great recompense of reward. You know, Satan would love to draw us away, cast us aside, have us cast aside our confidence. Don't let Satan tempt you away. We need to be steadfast, faithfully following on. Our victory will be in our faith. We can be tempted to become weary, having maybe served for years faithfully, and I'd be tempted to wonder, well, what is the reward? Would there be an easier way and more rewards? But those are words of Satan. Let's be a steadfast believer and not cast away our confidence. Number 8, the godly sufferer. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, Jesus Christ himself, as our Lord, was consecrated through suffering. We suffer with him that we may also be glorified together. And if we expect to receive a reward, we can expect to also suffer. Let's patiently endure suffering so that we can someday get a reward. We sometimes become short-sighted and wonder if the suffering is worth it, but it will be worth it. And we know that people have suffered and not really received any reward on this earth, in this life, but the reward ahead of them is easily worth it. Number 9, given to the faithful warrior. 2 Timothy verses 7 and 8. Paul there said, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that at that day, and not to me only, but unto them, all them also that love his appearing. Can we say that we have fought a good fight? We have also finished our course. God will be victorious. We know that's a given in this constant struggle, this fight between God and Satan. We know that that is already understood, or we know God will be victorious. But for us, it's a continued battle. We can still lose. We can still make a decision to give up. But do we have the faith to continue to fight, to finish our course, to keep our faith? Let's be faithful unto death and gain that crown of life. All right, for number 3, let's look at the rewards. What are some rewards? We know that they are great. Genesis 15 verse 1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Already read that verse, maybe. If we have God, we have an exceeding great reward. It's all that we need. If he is mine, then all is mine. All right, number 2. The rewards are sure. Colossians 3 verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. If we receive of the Lord, we know that those rewards are sure, because they are of the Lord. He is faithful that has promised. Sometimes we might be promised, like in this life, in just everyday life, we might expect a reward for something. Maybe it's implied or promised, and then find out that it wasn't so sure after all. And maybe the implied reward or implied certificate or something vanished and didn't show up. But with Christ, these rewards are sure. When he promises, it is sure. Number 3, the rewards are also varied. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. This is not that every person's reward will be exactly the same. And we realize that everyone can be saved and everyone will be saved on the equal basis. One person will not get to heaven and another person not. But personally, I think the rewards will be different. You know, the penitent thief that came to God in this last hour, I don't think his rewards will be the same as Apostle Paul's years of faithfully serving. And I think in the same way, many people that faithfully serve selflessly, not looking for a reward, will be given greater rewards than some of us that kind of grudgingly do our duties, our services. I think our rewards might be a little less than we hope for. That's not what I wanted to say. But will be less than some people's rewards. That brings me to the next point, number four. The rewards will be sufficient. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You know, as we faithfully serve the Lord, everyone will be completely satisfied with their own reward. Person wouldn't be in heaven if heaven wouldn't be what it is if people would be unsatisfied there, right? So I think everyone will be abundantly rewarded, completely satisfied. Number five, the rewards are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." This crown will never wither. You know, Apostle Paul used that analogy of the crowns that the Olympian runners got, the woven out of leaves. Those withered, and they look pretty for a few days probably, but our reward that we will get will never wear out. What is the value of, and it says here, eternal weight of glory? I guess we don't know what a value that it has, but it will be continuing on and it will last forever through eternity. These rewards are to be coveted. Number six, 2 John chapter 1 verse 8. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." You know, people or Satan will try to lead us away from serving the Lord, tempting us to lose our reward. But we must press toward the mark. We do not want to lose those things which are there for us to receive. Verse 1 says, "When pressing toward the mark for the prize," speaks of pressing forward, and it will take work, it will take strenuous effort. Anyone that was in public school in the early 80s, maybe you remember the Canada Fitness Awards, the different things that were done there, chin-ups, sit-ups, short-distance sprints, long-distance running. Remember the endurance run, you know, pressing toward the mark. I always think of that race. You could get a bronze if you ran hard, but it took days, weeks of practicing and training, especially for the excellent reward or the gold. You couldn't just run that mile or whatever it was, endure and run to make it in that time, but you had to basically sprint and keep that speed for that. You know, anyone can train to run for quite a long time, a mile or like a marathon, but to reach the speed of a sprint and then keep that up, that takes practice. That's what pressing forward pressing toward the mark will be for us. We can't just be satisfied of living our daily lives for Christ and idle along or maybe run along, but it will take continuous strain and pressing forward to receive that prize. All right, number four then. The rewarding will be, number one, according to our works. Matthew 16, verse 27. Says, for the Son of Man shall come in glory, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. It will not be according to our profession, but according to our service, our works that we have done. You know, we might say that we are a Christian and we might have a great testimony, but our reward won't be according to our testimony, but it will be according to what we have actually done, our actual service. Our rewarding will be given openly. Matthew 6, verse 4. You know, secret acts for Christ will be rewarded secretly, and we might do things that might never be seen, but also will be given open. I should turn to Matthew 6, verse 4 and read that verse. Speaking about giving alms in secret, I think. That then alms may be in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. But maybe the things that we are, like I said, not everything we do will be rewarded here in this time openly. But there comes a time when every deed that is done for Christ will be rewarded. Number three, the rewarding will be done in this present time. Chapter 18, verses 29 and 30. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, our life everlasting. Says here, we will receive in this present time. Our rewards are not all reserved for us in heaven, but there are also rewards that we receive in this time. You know, Daniel's self-denial, I think there is a reward that he will receive in heaven, but there was also a reward that he received at that time. The heavenly wisdom that he got was a present day reward that he got. The number four, also in the life to come. Revelation 22, verse 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Obviously, we all know that there will be rewards in the life to come. There will be rewards will be given when he comes. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in glory, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. The greatest rewards will be given when the rewarder himself appears. When he comes for his saints, they shall receive the new body. And number six, during his reign, in Revelation 20, verse 4, we have the verse, and I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So during his reign, there will be reward for reigning with him. 1 Colossians 6, verse 2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Well, this is the context here speaking of us being able to decide, I think, here in this time, how we need to live our Christian lives. But It's inferring here that also that saints will judge the world. Also, then throughout all eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We will receive a reward in glory. Remember the words, for where I am, there shall ye be also. Where will we be? Forever with the Lord. Greatest reward we can imagine and hope for. Let's bow our heads for prayer.